We are in amazing days, days of very strange things that are happening in our society, but nevertheless, great things that God's doing at the same time. Take full advantage of these days where we can learn, we can get something from God, we can hear from Him, and be strengthened, because we'll need it. We'll need it. I know that every time that we move forward, every time that we do something, we get our enemy who tries to destroy us, and he tries it on a number of levels and a number of places. If I were the devil, if I were an enemy, I wouldn't come to you in your strength. I wouldn't come to you at the place where you are good. I would wait until I found your weakness, and then I'd drive everything down there. My timing would be severe. I would look for times when it wasn't convenient. I would make sure that during a time of stress, oh, he's going to fix me. Thank you. I would make sure that when there was a time of stress, that's when I would go after you, right? And that's what he does, right? I would also try to divide you as much as I could, because if I divide you, then I split you up. I can pick you off, right? Be very much aware. We need to be prayerful. Right? We need to be prayerful. I sometimes wonder how many things are actually just natural occurrences, how many things are really battling things. We have a funny situation. It's the middle of winter, right? And it seems like no matter how many times we fix this heating system, something happens. We just literally had a boiler person come in on Friday or Saturday, I think it was, and he came in to service our boiler. Right? And he made it worse. Right? So we expected it to be warm today. And Tex, bless him, bought these just in case. We didn't think we were going to need them. We thought it was going to be extra, right? So these are the hot seats. And isn't it funny? Did you notice the name of these are the devil? What is it? Clark Devil? Something like that? So the devil is in our midst, just in case you know. And I guess they call that because it's red and everything like that, right? But please, do not be surprised. Don't be surprised if just as things seem to be going well or you think that you're making progress, that something happens. But let me tell you something. The battle's good. We have to learn to fight. Right, this whole time that we're talking about the things in the wilderness are because it's important that we learn what's happening to us. If you don't understand what's happening to you, you won't be able to deal with it. And then before you know it, you blame this person, that person, this thing that happens, and you end up in trouble. So let's pray as we look into the Word. Lord, I thank you for your Word. It is indeed a lamp so we can see, a light directing our path so we know where we're going and we don't stumble. Thank you for it. Thank you for giving it to us. Thank you for every person that's here today. It's windy today. And folks could have stayed at home, but I'm glad that they came to worship you. I'm glad that they've come to learn of you. And it's good to be here today. Lord, I ask you to speak to us. I ask you to encourage our brethren today and bless us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah. Amen. Okay, let's see if I got it right. Yes. I'm on part 5 of the Ten Commandments. I want you to look at this tablet that I put on the wall, okay, on the thing. Because you notice there's two. Just keep that in mind, okay? And you notice they have some nice Roman numerals and things. I can assure you that when the Ten Commandments were written, it didn't look like this, right? But keep your eyes on that because I want to remind you of something, okay? Now, so as we're continuing, I want to remind you that we're still at the foot of Sinai. I put these pictures up so I remember, we'll remember, that the children of Israel are now in the valley and Moses has gone up the hill. And it probably looked very similar to that. You can see at the base, you can see all these camps and so forth. And then at the top, there's smoke, there's fire, and all these things, right? It's a very awesome thing that's happening at this particular place. So let's not forget where we are, okay? Now, we're looking at the Ten Commandments that God gave to Moses. So we looked at idolatry. We looked at graven images. We saw using God's name in vain. And we also looked at the Sabbath last week. Right? Now, I need to, as we look at commandment number 5, I need to break something else down to you that, in a sense, that I forgot to tell you. The 5th commandment is honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Let me read that again. Honor your father and mother, and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Okay? Now, in Exodus chapter 31 and verse 18, it says that 2 tablets were given to Moses, and that they were written with the finger of God. Right? So I can assure you they didn't look like these, but they were 2. And tradition says the Jews believe that you had half on one side, half on the other side, but not in the number 5. Every time you look them up, you'll see 5 on one side and 5 on the other. The Jews don't believe that. They believe there were 4 on one side and 6 on the other. Right? And part of that is because of the length of what's being said. But it's very, very important. Very, very important. You see, the first 4 commandments are all about loving God. The very first 4. When it talks about graven images, that's all to do with God. It talks about worshiping and so forth. So the verse 4, we would say that they were vertical. They were dealing with up and down, me to God. They're vertical, right? But the last 6 commandments are all about loving our neighbor. The last 6 are horizontal, right? So you've got 4 commandments that deal specifically with God, and then you've got 6 commandments that are dealing with men. And so the Jews believed that 4 were on one side and 6 were on the other. Now, Jesus knew this, and he narrowed it down to 2. Watch this. In Matthew chapter 22 and verse 36, it says, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And these were debated things. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were always debating which one is more important and which one should we keep and so forth and so on. And this is Jesus' reply. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind." In fact, in Luke it says with all your strength as well. This is to do with the first 4 commandments. This is the first and great commandment. This is also specifically stated in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy literally means second law, where the law is repeated. And in the book of Deuteronomy, it actually says this. It says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength," in Deuteronomy. So this is what Jesus said is the greatest commandment, and it encapsulates the first 4. Then he says, and the second is like it. "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." That's the final 6. That's what's written in Deuteronomy. That's what Jesus said. And that takes the whole law and narrows it down. On these 2 commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So when it comes down to it, when you're talking about the prophets and what Isaiah said and Jeremiah said, and all the people that are being taught and so forth and so on, he's saying, this is it right here. Love God, love your neighbor. Very interesting, isn't it? Now, the first, if you take these 2, and you have 2 tablets, both the first commandment of each section are what we call authority commands. All right? So if you've got the first 4 and then you've got the second 6, the very first one in each one is all about authority. What do I mean by that? The first one is, "You shall have no other gods before me." That's basically saying God is the one. He's in authority. And this authority is toward heaven, toward God. That makes sense? This is what we call spiritual or divine authority. Spiritual authority. All authority comes from God. And it's implying that God is our Father. Right? And this is why this commandment is so important. You look at all the commandments, you think, honor your father and mother. That's a nice thing to do. But why is this such an important thing? It's bigger than you think. It's bigger than I ever thought it was. All right? The second one, the first one in the second section, is honor your father and your mother. This is dealing with authority toward heaven or toward earth. Right? So the first side is toward God. The second side is toward men. The first of the first side talks about the authority of God the Father. The second one talks about the authority of parents. And that's why they're so important. A lot more than I ever dreamed. This is earthly or human authority expressing the fatherhood of man. In other words, God did this through families. You've heard me say before that the family is the institution. It's where everything starts. It's where all of our society is successful. It's no wonder that the devil wants to destroy them. It's no wonder that he wants to screw everything up and mix it all up and mess everybody up. Because if he does that, he destroys society. And by the way, we already saw this happen in Genesis. When Adam sinned, you had the line of Seth, you had the line of Cain, and Cain's line got so bad that it corrupted the line of Seth, and then the earth got so bad it was filled with violence, and God had to destroy it. Guess what? It's going to happen again. It's going to happen again. According to the scriptures, eventually this heaven and this earth is going to be destroyed again. And he's going to create a new one. We already know that heaven was corrupted. A third of the angels left. We already know that the Bible says that we as saints of God are going to judge angels. Which is amazing. And nobody knows what that means. Except for what it says. So we know heaven has already had a problem. And then we also know that Adam sinned, and as a result of that, earth has a problem. And as we get nearer and nearer to the end, the last harvest is being reaped. The last of those people who are seeking God, who are asking, who want forgiveness, who want to be changed, are coming in. And it's becoming more and more polarized. It's getting to a point where you're getting the godless and the godly. You're getting the good, the bad, and the ugly. It's happening. And that's where we are. Now, obedience to spiritual authority commands the blessing of long life. You want to live a long time? Obey spiritual authority. You want to live a long time? Do God's will. We already know that when you corrupt yourself, when people live badly and they don't live according to God's precepts, their life is shortened. We know that stress shortens your life. We know that excessive alcohol shortens your life. We know sexual immorality shortens your life. And on and on and on. I would dare to say that sin shortens your life. Right? Interesting, isn't it? Disobedience to spiritual authority commands the curse. Any of you ever read Deuteronomy chapter 28? If you do, it'll give you a very long, nice little list of the blessings of God. And it says, if you obey, if you do what God tells you to do, you'll be blessed in the city, you'll be blessed in the field, you'll be blessed when you come up and when you go out, and so forth and so on. And then it's a four times as longer curse to the Jews in particular. And it says, you'll be cursed in the field, you'll be cursed in the city, and on and on and on and on and on. We know that these things particularly happened to the Jewish people because the Jewish people were the people of God. But we also know that the principle applies to us Gentiles too. All right? Now, let's look at divine fatherhood first, okay? Because we're talking about honor your father and your mother. It's interesting because normally at this time of year, we have what we call Family Month. And we talk about issues in the family. Well, we had so many things going on this year, we didn't declare it this year, but we're doing it anyway, because God knows what he's doing, okay? Right. There should be an appropriate honoring of God as a father, because our father has authority. Yes? Isn't that true? If God is our Father, we should honor him. Look at this verse. This is an interesting one. In Malachi chapter 1, verse 6, it says, a son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence, says the Lord of hosts? God's saying, hey, if I'm the father, I should be honored, shouldn't I? He says, you honor your earthly father. Of course, in our society right now, fatherhood is being destroyed, isn't it? Check it out, people. Why do you think that is? Why do you think that is? Because the devil wants to destroy everything. Right? It's interesting, isn't it? Now, listen to this. Adam's well-being. Remember Adam, that guy in the garden? His well-being was dependent on his response to God's authority. Or in other words, God gave him a command. God gave him his word. He said, of all the trees, you can eat anyone you want, except this one. Except this one. That was God's word to him. All right? And by rejecting God's authority, he was establishing his own authority as superior. By rejecting what God says, he's basically saying, I'm going to do something different. And guess what? He was not deceived. He was not deceived. He was not fooled. Eve was deceived. Adam was not. Adam knew what he was doing. Adam made a decision. Right? He looked at what God said. He looked at his wife. And he said, I'll take the wife. That's what he did. And in doing that, he's establishing his own authority. He's basically saying, this decision is better than that one. Once you start to do that, that's what begins to happen in your life. When we place our own authority over God's, we're doing what Satan did. That's why Satan fell. Because Satan was in heaven, and he decided, I'm going to be like the Most High. I think that I can do this better than him. And that, my friends, is what we do all the time. We do it in religions. We decide, we don't say, God, what are your commandments? What do you want to do? We say, I think I'll worship God in this way. I hear people say that all the time. I hear Christians say that. Well, you know, I worship God in my own way. So that makes you God. That makes you like our adversary, the devil. Because that's what he did. He said, I'll do it my way. Sounds like a song, doesn't it? I'll do it my way. You know, there's so many things that we're listening to and we're hearing, and they are affecting the way we think. And they're not right. They're just not right. How many of you said, I did it my way? Yes, great song. No, it's not. It's not a song. You know, George Benson did a wonderful song, right? And in the middle of the song, he says, I believe the children are the future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. No! Children don't know what they're doing. Right? You don't let kids lead the way. You lead them. Right? Show them all the beauty they possess inside. No, they're sinners. They are. They are. You don't have to teach your 2-year-old to lie. They lie on their own. Isn't it true? Oh, but they're so precious. They're innocent. They're not innocent. They're guilty. It's the truth. And no one likes, people don't like, when I say things like that, I get in trouble. And they want to shoot me. I've had people come after service and say, Freddie, you know, you better watch what you just said. Da, 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 da. And I said, well, I'm just telling the truth. I'm just saying what God says. You see, I have this problem. My problem is I actually believe what God says more than anybody else. And that's a problem for me. Because when I hear things that are contrary to that, I get trouble. I go, no. My daughter says, Dad, you're ruining all the movies. Because I'm looking at the movies. I go, that's not true. That's not going to happen. They don't do that. That's not what you're going to do. And she goes, oh, Dad, just watch the film. But I get annoyed. Because I think it's not right. It's not true. I hear stuff all the time. What is happening is we're placing our own ideas, our own thoughts, our own feelings before what God says, and that makes me God. Remember I told you the difference between cats and dogs? Yeah? Dog says, this guy, he pets me, he feeds me, he takes me for a walk. He is God. Cat says, he pets me, he feeds me, he takes me for a walk. I'm God. And that's what cats are like. When my dog would come into the, when I come into the house, my dog, oh, it's my dog. When my cat comes out, he goes, well, it's about time. My cat would go, I'm telling my, boy, you're late today. And then finally, that's what cats, you got to get used to cats. If you think your cat is a dog, you're going to have trouble. Hee, kitty, kitty. No. Kitty comes when kitty wants. You know, you don't even have to ask Spot. Spot comes when you don't want him to come. Right? Spot is, right? Hee, kitty, 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 kitty. The cat will come. Just, you know what cats do? They do like this. They go, I don't think so. Don't they? They do. And we're cats. And we don't realize it. When we place our own authority over God's, we are doing what Satan did. That's what we're doing. Well, you know, I just feel, you know what? With all due respect, God didn't ask you what you feel. He's the boss, isn't he? He's our father. But and why do you think fatherhood is trying to be destroyed? Because if you can mess it up, then you mess up everything. And listen, I know we're from broken families, right? I had a father and a mom, right? My dad wasn't the best. In fact, he really made things difficult. But I'm going to tell you something. You see, God knows that too. I'll get to that in a minute, okay? When we reject God's commands, his word, we reject God. When we decide to do what we're going to do anyway, even though we know that we're not supposed to do it, right? We reject God. Now, some of you have been around a little while, right? And you made some mistakes. And now you go, boy, if I do that over again, I never do. But you were back in the day. You knew you shouldn't have done it, but you did it anyway. Right? And guess what? Now you're going, boy, if I could go backwards, I would change that. I definitely wouldn't marry him or her. I definitely wouldn't go to that place. I definitely would have studied more. Right? When your parents are going, now you hit those books. You get me? It's true, isn't it? When we reject God's command, we reject God. You say, I would never do that. I'm not an idol worshiper. Yes, you do. Yes, we do. When we decide that we are going to do it anyway, we are taking the place of God. And let me tell you something. Our whole world is trying to get you to do this. Go on, honey. Do that thing. Right? Our whole world is telling you things like, you just get whatever you can get. You be whatever you can be. You do it for yourself. Think for yourself. Do for yourself. I'm telling you, right? Ladies, our world is saying, you don't need a man. Yeah? Or, you better get ready so you can sort out life on your own. Right? Because these men are no good. And let's be honest. A lot of us men are no good. Right? It's a problem, isn't it? Why is it a problem? Because everything is turned upside down. It really is. Evil in the world is when man rejects the Father's authority and places himself as ruler. We had that at the Tower of Babel. We had that in Genesis. We had that in Sodom and Gomorrah. And guess what? We have it right now. Right now. And by the way, there's a few other things you need to know. The world is trying to tell you that God doesn't exist. The world is trying to tell you that it's up to us. Do you know right now, we are trying to save the planet. Right? We. As if we are God. Because only God can save a planet. He made it. He did. You see what I'm trying to say? It's there and you don't even think about it. You don't even know. Because there's a, not only are there godly people who are making statements and so forth, but they're pushing an agenda. And they're telling us stuff and trying to get us to think a certain way. Now, the opposite of this is to recognize God's fatherhood and to submit to his authority. That's why, think about it. What is the first word in the Lord's Prayer? Our Father. Why do you think that's the first thing it says? Right? You know, you would never think that the Lord's Prayer has something to do with the Ten Commandments. Honor your father and your mother. Right? If you honor God, right, you're honoring your father. And so Jesus said, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven. You are putting God in his rightful place. He's father. He's ruler. He's authority. Why do you think our world is trying to take away every father's authority? Every program you watch. Have any of you ever watched this program called The Simpsons? You ever heard of that program? Sure you have, haven't you? There's this bloke called Homer, right? He's the father figure that is being taught to all of us. And he is, what's the word I want to use? An idiot. That's the word I want to use. Right? He's lazy. He's dumb. He's unsincere. He doesn't know what he's doing. Right? He's crazy. Right? But he loves his son, doesn't he? You know? So that's dad. That's when you think of dad, that's the dad we're looking at. That's the kind of guy that we're thinking about. That's the example that we're giving. But on the other hand, he has a wife, doesn't he? What's her name? Marge. Smart, sensible, good looking, everything, right? Oh, and by the way, it's so funny to me. I'm just saying it, right? The guys in the family, what's the boy's name? Bart, that's his name, Bart. And Bart is kind of crazy, isn't he? Right? And then what's the daughter's name? Lisa. She's smart. She's brilliant. She's amazing. She's really great. Have you ever thought, why is that? Why is it always that? What's happening? It used to be when I was brought up, we had programs like Father Knows Best. Have you ever heard of that? It was good. You've never seen? He's a young guy. He'd never heard of that, right? It was great. It was a good series, right? Now it's Father Knows Least, isn't it? Now I want to talk to you about earthly fatherhood, okay? Because we were talking about divine fatherhood, okay? So now I want to talk about earthly. Divine fatherhood means God in heaven is father. Earthly fatherhood means the guys on the earth, okay? There should be an appropriate honoring of our parents, an appropriate honoring of our parents. What do I mean by that? I'll tell you in a minute. It says, now this is, remember I told you Deuteronomy is a repeat of the law. Okay? This is the same thing told us in Deuteronomy, but it gives us a little bit more. When Moses wrote in Deuteronomy, he gave a little bit more. It says, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you. And then he says an interesting thing. He says that your days may be long, and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. So, not only are we talking about lengthening your days, but we're talking about God's prosperity wherever you are. They were going into a foreign place where there was wickedness, and yet God's blessing came upon them when they obeyed their parents, which is quite amazing, okay? So, what does it mean to honor your parents? By the way, I know that you spell honor differently. You spell honor with a U, but my computer doesn't like it. I have it on American thing, so forgive me for H-O-N-O-R instead of H-O-N-O-U-R, but I do know the difference, okay? All right, so what does it mean to honor them? It should be reflected in your attitude toward them, showing them the respect and the esteem that is due them. All right? So my attitude toward my parents should show respect and esteem that is due them. Now, it doesn't mean you lie. How many of you have ever heard of the Temptations? You ever heard of them? Yeah? They did a song called Papa Was a Rolling Stone. Have you ever heard that song? If you have, it's an amazing song. And it has this long intro. And then the song basically starts by the kids talking to their mother, right? And they're asking her questions. And one of the lines says, is it true what they say that Papa never worked a day in his life? That's a good question. And then the guy, and Mama, the bad talk's going around that says Papa had two or three women and another wife. and that ain't right. Right? Now they're asking, is that true? And then another line said, folks say Papa never was much on thinking. Spent most of his time chasing women and drinking. And then they went, Mama, I'm dependent on you to tell me the truth. And then she lied, no, he's a great man, no? And then she goes, Mama just turned her head and said, son, Papa was a rolling stone. Wherever he laid his hat was his home. And when he died, all he left us was alone. That's bad, isn't it? That's bad. By the way, we started realizing that most of the father songs were terrible. Whenever there was a mother song, it was a great song, right? I remember a song called Sadie. Guy, don't you know we love you, sweet Sadie? Make someone above you, sweet Sadie. Living in the past, I know it seems so funny. Or how about that? Grandma's hands. Went to church on Sunday morning. Grandma's hands. Played the tambourine so well. But the Pips. Right? Gladys Knight and the Pips. Daddy couldn't read. Daddy couldn't write. But one thing Daddy sure could do right. Want to know what he could do? He could swear, I declare. Thank you very much. All the dad songs were terrible, right? All the mom songs were good. These people were singing about their experiences, right? Sometimes dads haven't been very good. Guys, we need to deal with that, okay? But honoring, it means that it should be reflected in attitude, showing the respect and team that is due them. Let me explain something to you. I don't have this on the board, okay? But let me explain something to you. This is the principle that made David do what he did. If you remember, David did what was right before God, and Saul became jealous of him, right? And Saul started chasing him and tried to kill him. And David ran from Saul and never fought him, and then he ended up in a cave, and inside a cave, he was able to kill him. And so all of his friends said, kill him, take him down. And he said, I will not touch the Lord's anointed. Believe it or not, David's thinking came from the fifth commandment, right? From showing respect to your father and your mother. Because if you deal with God that way, you deal with others that way. It's interesting. Now, it didn't mean that Saul was right. It meant, God, you're going to have to deal with him. You're going to have to deal with him. I'm not going to deal with him. All right? It should also be reflected in action. This thing called pension, I'm not against pension and such, but think about it. If you go back 100 years, there were no such thing as pensions. Right? And then you go back throughout human history, that was it. There was no such things as pension. So what did people do when they got old? I'll tell you what they did. Their families took care of them, didn't they? For the most part, didn't they? So if you had parents, your father, your mother, your grandparents, they all kind of lived in the same communities and they looked after each other, didn't they? Right? Well, we came up with this wonderful thing, right? I call it individualism, right? And basically what we do is we set up our own little nice little cute little family, right? Put ourselves all by ourselves, right? And then we put in all these means so we can be taken care of on our own so we don't need anybody. And you know what it creates? It creates loneliness. It creates selfishness. And by the way, we're supposed to deal with each other. Your parents are supposed to help you to get better. Right? So when you fight with your sibling, now you stop. Right? How many of you had situations where you and your sibling did something and it was one or the other and your parents end up getting you both for the same thing? Did any of you ever have that? Right? When you end up getting in trouble, and you didn't do it. It was really your brother, but they couldn't tell. It was really your sister, but you didn't know. Right? You know what you learned by that? You learned that we all have to deal with it, didn't you? You learned corporate responsibility, didn't you? You see what I mean? Well, you don't learn that anymore. Everybody's talking about it's fair. It's fair. Where's that in the Bible? Where's that in human history? Human history's never been fair. It isn't. Isn't that interesting? So, when we honor them, it should be reflected in our actions, obeying them as children when we were younger. And by the way, your relationship with your kids changes with age. All right? Some people act like their children are still children. What time? Calling you. Are you in bed yet? Mom, I'm 45. That's not right. That's not right. You know, when your kid's an adult, right? They do have a little bit of say as to how they spend their money, don't they? Right? But I will say this much. When they go broke, right, and they start coming to you, that's when you have a say in it. Right? I told my kids, I, you know, if you want to borrow some money from me, that's fine, but I need to know what you're going to do with it. That's when I get involved. You don't want me involved? Don't ask me. Right? Dad, I'm going to buy a Rolls Royce. Go for it. Do your thing. Sure. You know, I know you don't have a house. You know. I know you don't have any underwear, too, but you buy that Rolls Royce. You go ahead. Do your thing, you know. You understand me. There's something. You got to let your kids go. What happens is when you're young, when your kids are children, when they're babies, you are God to your kids. Right? When your kids are teenagers, you're the master and the ruler. Right? But when your kids are adults, you are co-laborers. Right? You are trying to build something together. Our families are building each other, aren't they? You get me? But you got to let them labor. You got to let them go. You can't hold on to them. And by the way, your kids will only have one dad and one mom. Don't call me dad. Call me Fred. No, I'm your father. Right? You got a lot of Freds, Marys, aunties, right? Don't call me Fred. I'm your father. I'm your only father. Right? I'm your mother. I'm your only mother. Just call me Sally. No. No. You don't need a friend. You need a mom. Right? And a lot of us make the mistake of wanting to be young. Right? And so we want to act like we're kids, and you're not kids. And that's a problem. All right? And then we want, you know what annoys me too? When we one minute we want them to treat us like we're kids, and then, well, I'm your dad. Well, wait a minute, you told me to call you Fred. You know what I mean? You know, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't. Okay, let me go a little bit further, we'll be done. What does it mean to honor them? By dishonoring them, we automatically dishonor God. And by the way, honor doesn't mean that they're right all the time. Honor doesn't mean that they're not dumb. Because we have some dumb parents sometimes, don't we? Of course, not in here, right? All of you are brilliant parents, right? Right? But honor doesn't mean, it doesn't mean that they're right all the time. Earthly authority is a reflection of heavenly authority. And this is interesting, right? If you throw off, that shouldn't say of, it should say off. Throw off the rule of parents, and you throw off the rule of God. What about when parents get it wrong? Of course, parents never get it wrong, right? Nope. Never. Right? You know, we have a rule in my house, right? Rule number one is dad is always right.
Correct.
Rule number two is, in the very rare occasion when dad is wrong, refer to rule number one. No, that's not the way it goes, really, right? But I have heard that before, you know. I've heard that said. Number one, the boss is always right. Number two, anyway, there you go, right? What about when parents get it wrong? Listen, God rules through imperfect parents. In fact, God rules through imperfect leaders. And it's interesting. God can use a crooked stick to draw a perfect line. Yeah? God rules through people that are imperfect. How many of you know that your boss is kind of crazy? He doesn't get it right all the time. Yeah? But he's still the boss, isn't he? Still the boss. Doesn't get it right all the time. Could have saved the company some cash, but he's still the boss, isn't he? Some people are the boss by inheritance. They don't know nothing about the company at all. Right? Some people are smart. They let their managers run the company because they know that the managers know more than they do. Yeah? Isn't it true? Nurses, some of y'all know more than the doctors do. Isn't that true? Some of you see the doctor's about to make a mistake, and you're afraid to tell him because he's going to put you down. But he's about to make a mistake. That piece of tissue really should not stay in there. You know? It's true, isn't it? It's true. That are you going to leave that scalpel in there? I don't think that's supposed to stay. But then they say something, you get in trouble, don't you? God rules through imperfect leaders. Therefore, now listen to this. I should stop complaining and judging my parents. I must stop looking at them and focus on God who is over them.
Correct.
All right? And by the way, you do that with your parents. You do that all the time. And that's why our world is so messed up, because we stopped doing that. And so what we're doing is we're becoming complaining. We think we know. We're becoming gods. We're ruling ourselves. We know more than everybody else does. We're right all the time. Isn't that interesting? Earthly authority is fallen authority. Did you hear me? Our president in the United States is a fallen man. Your prime minister in Britain is a fallen man. Isn't that true? We have the first adulteress at number 10 Downing Street in history. Did you know that? It's a fact. And by the way, did y'all hear of Philip Schofield just recently? Yeah, so I don't have to mention that, do I? Right? Earthly authority is fallen authority, yet God still uses them. By the way, you might remember that when Jesus was about to be crucified, the high priest prophesied that one man would have to die for the nation. And he was an awful man, but he was the high priest. Parents often fail their children by provoking them. Yeah? Some of you said amen. Parents often fail their children by provoking them, right? By failing to discipline and instruct them. And discipline is not just beating them. Discipline comes from the word disciple. Discipline means you're discipling them, right? If you're hitting your kids because you're angry, you are not discipling them. You're just taking out your anger on them. And we have testimony of that, don't we? Where you got a beating and you didn't know what it was for. If you got a beating and you didn't know what it's for, your beating did not do its job. Right? Now, I'm not saying the parent did it deliberately. Maybe they thought you knew. Or maybe you were just dumb and didn't get it. Right? But if your kids don't understand why you are doing what you're doing, they're not going to get it. It's a failure. And after a while, you know, if you keep beating somebody and they don't know what to do, after a while, the beating doesn't mean anything anymore. Go ahead, hit me some more. I remember I was on a baseball class, right? It was like preparation to be on the baseball team. And if you got a D, you got a SWAT. And if you got an F, you got two SWATs. This guy ended up, his report card was so bad. He was one of the top guys on the baseball team. He got 17 SWATs. So he came the next day with three pairs of jeans on, right? And four pairs of underwear, I think he had, right? And it was crazy. He was like this. Bam! And the coach was turning red. Bam! 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 Because they had to hit him 17 times. He's like, yeah, go. Didn't move, didn't flinch, because he was padded up. That was a waste of time. It was a complete waste of time, right? Energy. Yeah, well, and energy too. Yeah, and money. He had to buy the paddle, didn't he? Right? Parents often fail their children by provoking them or failing to discipline and instruct them. Now, this guy here, his name is Thomas Watson. I only know that he was a Puritan writer from 1620 to 1686. He wrote a long time ago, right? And he wrote, "How may a parent provoke his children to wrath?" Right? So this is back in the 1700s, okay? Let's see what he wrote. Number one, this is a very interesting word. Giving, how do you say this? Opprobrious terms. Or in other word, harsh put downs, calling them name, critical, right? By doing that, I wrote it the way he wrote it, right? By doing that, that's how you provoke your children to wrath. Yes? Here's another one. Striking them without cause or when the correction exceeds the fault. Right? I didn't write that either. Right either. When the correction exceeds the fault. You know, sometimes we go overboard, don't we? And that causes your children problems. Number three, showing partiality. Why aren't you like your brother? You know, you don't have to hit them to destroy them. Why can't you be more like your sister? Some of us have been hurt by parents who've compared, who favored someone, right? And it's not what we should do. Yes? Yeah, this is an interesting one. Neglect of prayer. Let me ask you a question, right? Have your kids ever walked in on you and found you doing something where you were surprised? Has that ever happened to you? They walked in the room, maybe they walked into the toilet and you were on the toilet or something? Has that ever happened to you? Yeah? Have your kids ever walked in on you and found out that you were praying for them? It's a good question, isn't it? Not encouraging the good they see in their children. You're always doing this. You're always doing that. You got to encourage someone. If you hear that all the time, I know I had a problem because I never heard anything good, so I didn't know I was good at anything. In fact, I was good at most things, but it was normal. And you can always find somebody better, don't you? Right? So I'm at school, and I'm playing chess with the two smartest guys at the school. Right? The second smartest guy in the school, I beat him every time. Right? The second smartest guy in the school, he beat me 6 out of 10 times. If we played 10 times, he would win 6 and I'd win 4. That at least put me up there, didn't it? Right? But I didn't get the grades they did, and the reason why is because I didn't know how. I didn't know I was smart. Because no one told me. And because no one told me, I underachieved. Yeah? Sometimes we don't encourage the good we see in our kids, right? Look, mommy, I just drew this thing. Yeah, but you got to get a real job. You know, that art thing, that ain't going to work. Yeah? How many of you have had this thing you always want to do, but they always told you you can't do it? Now, some people want to do stuff they can't do. A little midget comes along, I want to be in the NBA. No, you're not going to be in the NBA. You're a midget. You get me? And I think you have to be realistic at things, but you've got to encourage your kids. Failing to set good examples. Don't smoke. And don't drink. Yeah? It's not going to work, is it? That's what he said. I didn't say that. Children, if you've been disobedient to your parents, repent. Parents, if you've been absent, overbearing, provoking your children, repent. Change your mind. I'm almost done. Earthly authority does not end with parents, but it begins with parents, too. It is reflected in other authorities, masters, rulers, civil authorities, etc. You probably don't realize this, but in Ephesians, where it says, wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Children, obey your parents. Masters, not a head. That's all to do with the fifth commandment. Believe it or not, because it's about authority. It includes spiritual authority. Spiritual authority too, right? If you're dealing with your family's right, you'll deal with your church right. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17 says, obey those that have the rule over you because they watch for your souls. Let them do it with joy and not with grief. And by the way, we think the church is all about just getting what I want from it. But church is all about learning what God wants you to do and becoming more like him. I'm almost done. Forgive me for taking it. What about this promise? Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise. What about that? That it may be well with you. Oh, come on, this thing's too fast. And that you may live long on the earth. What about that one? The blessings of obeying parents. My son, do not forget my laws, but let your heart keep my commandments. You want to know what you do? If you listen to what this man said right here to his son, don't forget my laws, let your heart keep my commandments. That's the father talking to his sons. He says, length of days and long life and peace will they add to you. There you go. My son, Proverbs 1, verse 8. Hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck when you honor them. Consequences of disobedience to parents? Oh, here's a bunch of them. Yeah, this is just verses in the Bible, okay? And he who strikes his father or mother shall surely be put to death. Any of you ever hit your mom or dad? You, good thing it wasn't in the Old Testament, huh? It's a little more complicated than that, but don't do it, right? Why? Why would the Bible say that? Because when you do that, you are a threat to society, right? All these people who are going crazy and murdering people and so forth, do you think that they're really nice at home? No, they're not. No, they're not. And he who curses his father and mother shall surely be put to death. It's in another place. Oh, here's another one. Oh. Whoever curses father and mother, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness. You know what? You will not be able to see. You will be in darkness if you do that. What does it mean to curse your father or your mother? It doesn't mean just to do a swear word. There's something about where you literally say, I say no. And you're literally throwing something on them that's really, really bad. How about this one? There is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. That's where we are, isn't it? I'm done. So, don't feel condemned. Listen, we're no longer under the law, right? This isn't about work. This isn't about if you do this, you'll live. If you don't, you don't. It's not about that. Christ fulfilled it for us. Our salvation is free. We don't have to work for it. But remember, we're talking about sanctification. I keep bringing that back because God is sanctifying us. He's changing us. And what we have to do is allow God to make us what we're not, right? By faith in Jesus, we're forgiven, but we also receive a new heart that desires to obey him. And that's what we're talking about. So I no longer fear the disobedience through the law. I'm not afraid that God's going to zap me, right? But now I can fulfill the righteous requirement of the law through Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it says, there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. It says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has set me free. It's made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death says, sin, you die. The law of the Spirit of life of Christ Jesus says, you're free because of Jesus. And then it says, for what the law couldn't do, in that it was weak, the Ten Commandments couldn't do it. I'm telling you, this is what you should be. But the Ten Commandments, you couldn't do it because it's weak through my sinful flesh. God did in sending his own son, right? He became a sacrifice for sin so that the righteous requirement of the law can be fulfilled in me now. I can do this because God will make me what I'm not. Read the passage. Right? I'm already late. I've already taken about 15 minutes later for technical difficulties, right? But Romans chapter, read the passage and you'll see it. Right? Don't feel condemned. Ask God to tell you what will be the proper way to honor your parents. And we got some complicated things. All right? You might be 50 years old and you're not talking to your dad. I'm going to leave you with a testimony, okay? If I've told you this already, forgive me, but I'm going to tell you anyway. I've been very open with my father. I love my father. And he's dead now. I loved him. And I don't have any issues with him. I don't have any regrets. I don't go crying at night. I'm not shaking. When you say father, it doesn't scare me. Because God has delivered me, healed me, blessed me, encouraged me. When I got saved, something happened. But my father was not a good dad. He loved me. But he loved himself more. Right? And so when I came over here, God was saving me because if I'd stayed there, it would have caused me a lot of problems, right? Well, when I go back to the United States, I feel really bad. I have a wife. In fact, when I was there for a year and 8 months, my dad used to say things like, so Junior, when are you going to get a real job? That's what he'd say to me. When are you going to get a real job? How does that make you feel? You get what I mean? And I got to a point where I thought, I don't know what I should do. I'm a man now. I shouldn't go to my parents' house anymore. What should I do? And maybe some of you felt that way, some of you men. And so I went to a guy who was the first man that ever really started to really act as a pastor for me. His name was Philip Mohabir. I went to Philip and I said, Phil, I don't know what to do. Should I go and stay somewhere else? He said, no, this is what you do. And I did what he said. So I went home. As soon as I got home, I went to my dad. I think it was the very next day. And I said, Dad, I need to talk to you. And I had never spoken to my dad never had a conversation with me. Right? Not as a man. Remember, I left when I was 21 years old. Right? I said, Dad, I want you to forgive me. And he looked at me like, what? I said, Dad, I want you to forgive me. I said, the reason why I'm saying this is because I didn't ask you, right, to release me. I didn't ask for your permission, right, when I came here. And I said, Dad, I really don't know how you feel about what I do. I said, I want your blessing. My father was not a Christian. I said, I want your blessing. And that was the first time that my father ever said anything positive to me in my entire life. He said, son, I am so proud of you. He said, what you're doing is good, and you need to do it. And then I said, Dad, I got something else I need to ask you. I don't want to be a burden to you, right? I feel like as a man, I should have my own responsibility. So when I come to the U.S., I feel like it's time for me now to get my own place and stay somewhere. I have a wife. I have a son. I said, but I don't want to offend you. I love staying here. I love at home, but I don't want to offend you. He said, son, he said, you can stay here anytime you want to. He said, you come, don't go anywhere else. This is your home, and this is where you belong. And then I said, Dad, I got one more thing I need to say to you. I said, I really did. This is the first conversation I ever had with any results, with any response with my dad. I said, Dad, I got one more thing I need to say to you. I said, I have a wife, and I really don't know how you feel about her either. Right? I said, she comes in your house. She's, you know, we're cooking and things like that. I said, I really don't know how you feel about her too. He said, Wanda's like a daughter to me. He said, she can come here anytime she wants. Our home is ours. After that day, my relationship with my dad changed considerably. Right? He started talking to me. I couldn't believe it. He started talking to me. He started saying things. He started talking about my sisters and things he was troubled by them. And then about a few years later, he was talking to me. He was sitting down and he was talking to me about my sister. He says, I don't know what's happened with this one and that one's doing this. And I said, Dad, do you ever worry about me? And he did that. He went. No, I don't. And then I said, why not? And he went. Because you're in a good place. He hadn't even thought about it. I did that on purpose, right? I didn't need to do what I did the first time. I didn't need to do what I did the second time. I actually blessed him, right? By humbling myself to him, right? And you know what? That release took me through later when he still acted crazy and did things because I was released and I was done. I can honestly say, Lord, I've honored my father. I'm honoring my mother. Bless me. Bless me. Right? You want the blessing of God? It's not too late. If you haven't honored your parents, if you haven't dealt with some, deal with it. Right? Take the wrong sometimes. Sometimes we have to just say, you know what? I'm just going to step out of the way. Now, it doesn't mean that you just let any kind of rubbish go. Right? It doesn't mean that you serve other gods because they're serving other gods. It doesn't mean that you just do whatever they tell you to, because if you're an adult, you have a responsibility, right? But there's a way that you can honor them. I'm just done. I've got these left. Ask God to show you the best way to encourage your children. Maybe you can say, I don't know what to do. Ask him. He'll tell you what to do. Ask God to help you with appropriate responses to civil authorities. We know that the civil authorities don't do the right thing all the time, but ask God to show us what to do. And let me say something. If you're a child, if you're a young person, if you're a teenager, let me tell you something. Honor your parents. You do that and you'll live. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Lord, I thank you for your word. It's still relevant today. The Ten Commandments, they're so relevant. And it's you revealed these things in the New Testament, and you've done them for our health and our strength. Father, if we get it right, if we're strong, if we can get it right, then we can change the world. So help us to get it right. And help us for our sake. I pray for anyone who's been hurt by their parents, particularly their fathers. I ask you to heal that hurt. I ask you to show them what to do to end the controversy. I ask you to help those who are in their family right now and finding it's a struggle to even listen to their fathers. I pray for those who have to deal with their children and don't know what to do, and it's difficult. Lord, that you would heal, that as we've come into your house and come into your kingdom, that the kingdom of God rules would start to apply, and that the blessing of being in the kingdom would start to come on us. I ask you to do that for us. Please, Father, please, let us receive, please, that which you promised, that which the devil tried to take away. I pray that you would restore. Do this for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you. Amen.